everyone. Good afternoon and welcome to the Lifestyle CEO Show. This is the show where we empower you to break all the rules, build your own corporate ladder, and create the life you love. Today is Monday, March the 20th. It is the first day of spring. I hope everybody is enjoying the change of seasons wherever you are. Here in the Washington, D.C. area, it's a little bit sunnier than usual, but I got to tell you, the weather is just not quite warming up to my satisfaction yet. But I'm told that after a snowstorm tomorrow, which is predicted, we will actually be in the clear. So I'm looking forward to that for a number of reasons, not the least of which is it means that I can get outside and start doing some of my fitness routines in the fresh air instead of at the gym again. And along those lines, we have got an exciting guest with us today. Lisa Druxman is a lifestyle CEO extraordinaire. She is the creator of Stroller Strides, and she's been in the fitness industry for a long time, since 1990. So I got a lot of questions about that for her. But we're here specifically today to talk about some of her experiences as a lifestyle CEO, a mom, an entrepreneur, a business owner, a wife, and a bunch of other stuff I'm sure we're going to hear about. Lisa received her master's degree at San Diego State University in psychology. Her emphasis at that time was on exercise and weight control. She's done a lot of speaking and personal training at some of this nation's most well-recognized health clubs and spas, including the Golden Door and Rancho La Puerta. She also was a finalist in 2005 in the National Association of Women Business Owners Business of the Year contest. She has won several other awards, and we are so excited to have her. Lisa is the founder and owner of Stroller Strides, a nationwide franchise neighborhood exercise group for mothers. Welcome to the show, Lisa. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me. It sounds so great to hear all of that.
Oh, well, it is great, isn't it? And that is why, that is exactly what Lifestyle CEO Show is here for, is to highlight and spotlight the accomplishments and experiences of other mothers just like us who are, you know, have found a way to be more available to our families and also, generate some income and have some fun. Now, you started Stroller Strides right after your son was born, and that was about 5 years ago. Tell us a little bit about how that got started. Did you think that you were going to be in business when you had a baby?
Oh, I had no idea what I was venturing into. You know, after listing all those accomplishments, I would say my biggest accomplishment for myself is that I've been home with my kids for the last 5 years. I've been a mom first and foremost. I was very excited when I got pregnant, but I was distraught through my pregnancy because I didn't want to have to go back to work full-time. But the reality was we were a two-income family, and I knew I needed to. At the time, I was working, you know, 60-hour work weeks, and I realized I wasn't going to be much of a mom. During my maternity leave, my time with my son was just precious, so there was no way I was going to drop him off in a gym's daycare. Mm-hmm. So I created a workout that I could do with him, and it was one of our best hours of the day. He had a great time with the interaction. I would sing to him at the same time, and I was taking off the baby weight, which was certainly needed. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, I needed some social support, so I decided to start a class in my own neighborhood, and things kind of blossomed from there.
So when you found out you were pregnant, and then you continued to work throughout your pregnancy.
To the day of, yes.
To the day of, okay, another superwoman, love it. So you went ahead and you worked until the baby was born, and you had already planned some maternity leave.
Yeah, I did grant myself, put enough savings away for a 3-month maternity leave, which to this day is probably the most precious 3 months of my life. I just loved it. I mean, I love being a mom, and I'm enamored with the whole topic, which I guess is why I've created a business around it. But I did have to go back to work, or at least that was what the plan was going to be. And so I definitely wanted to maximize every moment I could of that maternity leave, which is why I spent the time with Jacob.
Now, were you working full-time, or were you contracted out to different locations when you took your leave?
Well, when I left, the job that I had left when I was pregnant was I was a general manager at a very large multi-million-dollar health club, which is definitely a full-time, big-time job. When I was planning on going back to work, however, I at least was negotiated something a little bit different. I was going to start a weight management program. I created my own weight management program some 12 years ago, and I was going to start offering this at a chain of clubs on the West Coast. And that was kind of why I had the pressure to get back into weight, as I do work in a very vain industry, unfortunately, and so
right.
I need to get back into that pre-baby weight in order to be able to start offering this weight management program
mm-hmm.
with my son. And luckily, I never had to go back to that.
Oh, okay. So then you took your leave, and then while you were on leave, you just started going outside and exercising with your son.
Yeah, I created this workout that I could do with him, but I did feel very isolated. Coming
mm-hmm.
from work life, I did not know one, I'm not exaggerating, I did not know one single mom. I didn't have one play friend for my baby, nothing. And so
mm-hmm.
as confident as you are in the workplace is as non-confident as you are as a mom, wondering if you're doing everything right and the sleep deprivation and this, that, and the other.
Mm-hmm.
One of my neighbors across the street said to me, you know, you really need to join a play group. And I was so out of motherhood at that time that I didn't. My reaction was, "What's a playgroup?"
Right.
So when she told me what a playgroup was, I decided to start my own and decided that, you know, other moms want to get back in shape and I can help them with that and they can help me with, you know, friendship and support. And so I started a class in my neighborhood with four moms, having no intention of it being anything more than that. It was definitely for that self-serving purpose, and it was really sweet. And then I got a phone call from one of my local news stations. When I was general manager at the health club, I was seen as kind of a local fitness expert and was on the news regularly promoting different kinds of fitness programs.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing the news station always liked was that I would come on the air with very little notice. So they called me and said, "Lisa, we've got nobody for the 6 a.m. slot tomorrow morning. Will you come on?" And my reaction was, "Well, I have no one to watch my son." They said, "Oh, just bring him on, you know, like create some sort of story." And I realized, okay. With no preparation, I advertised the class as if it were a real business.
Mm-hmm.
I said that we were going to do a grand opening class, and I was so unprepared for this that I put my home cell phone and my home email on the air. When I got home from the station, there were 75 emails waiting for me.
Oh, that is so great.
I had been on the air dozens of times and never got close to that much response, probably with all the dozens to put together. And when I read the emails, it wasn't just a few sentences asking where the class was. Some of them were 3 pages long, telling me what, how isolated moms felt and what support they needed. And I realized I was onto something. So a month later, we did have our first grand opening. I believe that was September of 01.
Mm-hmm.
And 40 moms showed up and 2 news crews showed up. And I knew on that day that I was not going back to work. And
now, did you charge for that first one?
I did, absolutely. Yeah, no, I did create it like a business right from the start at that point and told my husband, "Please take this leap of faith with me. I don't want to go back to work." And this was huge and scary for us.
Mm-hmm.
And he took that leap of faith with me. And we put everything we could into it right at that point on. We knew that we wanted to do it so that if we looked back, we didn't say, "Oh, I wish I would have put more of this into it or that into it." And so I really went gangbusters, and we added a location a month for the first year, so that by the end of that year, we had 12 locations running and 1,000 moms in San Diego participating. And it was crazy. It was filling such a need, and it wasn't just the fitness. It was that moms are looking for community and support mm-hmm. and connection, and that was what this program offered to so many moms.
That is so true. That your story about the support group is funny, because when I had my first child, people were telling me that you need to come to play group is what they called it. And
yeah.
I was like, when am I going to play? I only have a newborn here. She can't play. And it was so funny, because when I first started going, immediately I was like, this isn't a play group. This is a support group for mothers.
Yeah, it's a mom's group.
Yeah, it's like the kids were over there on the other side of the basketball court doing whatever they do, and we were all huddled together, like talking about breastfeeding and stuff. I think they actually changed the name of it in that group to support group meeting.
That's what it needs to be. Our mission statement we created pretty quickly was that we help moms make strides in fitness, motherhood, and life. And we do help moms get strong, and we do help moms get back to their pre-baby weight. But we really are about supporting them as moms, and so that they feel confident with their new role and, you know, reconnect with themselves. And I find that so many moms are martyrs, and they put themselves on the bottom rung of priorities. You know, once you become a mom, you need to take care of your family, your husband, your kids, your house, and they put themselves last on that list. And we really are working to give moms the encouragement that you're going to be a better mom, a better wife, better at everything, you know, especially at work, if you also take time to take care of yourself.
Yeah. Now, how did you find those locations so quickly? Did you have did you use some of the fitness contacts that you had to find locations for? These were all outdoors, right?
No, it happened so naturally because we got so many requests for classes and we got so many requests from people who wanted to be instructors, people who have known in the industry or whatever else, that it became a natural. Like I would get an instructor that I knew who said, okay, I've got this park right by my house, it's perfect, and I want to start a class there. So it really grew itself. It was incredible. Stroller Strides from the start has been very viral. Without us ever having intention of growing it as quickly as we did in San Diego, we also didn't have any intention of growing it across the country like we did. Mm-hmm. I started getting requests from women probably in our third month all across the country. I was blown away. And it was because, you know, a mom will talk to her cousin or, you know, it's just her through email, whatever the case may be. And so we started getting requests from all over the country saying, I'd love to start a class or I would love to join a class. And I really had no idea how we were going to do that. But obviously it did end up happening a year later.
That is such, I love the story for so many reasons, not the least of which is it's so wonderful when a business kind of just comes to you. I mean, not saying that you're not working really
oh,
hard.
Oh, no, you're right.
But the you know, the concept, you go on, and what a great story of taking advantage of opportunity, something that comes your way because you made some decisions and you put yourself in the position to be able to respond to that 6 a.m. news call, and lo and behold, here you are and here we are, helping other women do what you just described, which is exceed in their lives and in their fitness and everything. So we're going to take a little bit of a break. And when we come back, Lisa, I want to ask you some questions about some of the challenges and things that you have learned being a first-time business owner, being so successful the first time out. I know a lot of people will want to hear about that. This is the Lifestyle CEO Show. We're going to be taking your calls when you come back, so stay tuned. Don't touch that mouse. We'll be right back.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to the Lifestyle CEO Show, everyone. I'm Donna Maria, your host, and we are here today with Lisa Druxman of Stroller Strides. And for those of you who have not had a chance to visit her website, I want to encourage you to do that. Her great story is there and information about how to sign up for Stroller Strides events in your area. You can also find those there too. It's strollerstrides.com. And Lisa, before we broke, you told us the incredible story of how this business opportunity came to you. So you and your husband threw yourselves into this, and within a year you had 1,000 people in the San Diego area signed up and coming. And so at some point, fast forward to today, you're a franchise brand. Tell us a little bit about how you made the leap from the local area to nationwide.
Well, like I said, we were getting requests from all over the country from instructors or women who wanted to start the program, and I really had no clue or concept how I was going to do that. One of my top instructors, Susan Glossby, said to me, Lisa, I have to move to Monterey. You have to let me take this program with me. And I realized this could be a great opportunity for us to learn, does this work in other places? And I had already done all the work in terms of instructor manuals and marketing and all the materials that you would need. I realized I really had a business in a box to give her. So I said, all right, take it in Monterey, see how it goes, and let's use this as a beta experience. And she went out there and immediately was a huge success and opened up 4 locations. We realized then that this could be replicated, so I decided to create 10, I maxed it out to 10 licensing opportunities where I wanted to see, does this work in other types of territories? You know, we know it works in California, but does it work in hot places like Arizona and cold places like New Jersey? Mm-hmm. And so we created 10 opportunities that we sold across the country, and we kept them open for a year before we expanded further, and we learned a lot from that year. Again, huge success, and more than anything, just the excitement that the program brought about from the media to the participants, and meanwhile, we were getting requests every single day from across the country for more expansion. So as soon as we got that first year under our belt, we really refined the program, and then we opened it up nationwide. And we did turn into a franchise and franchise the business, which is a rather large undertaking, mm-hmm. Which I'd be happy to share experiences on. And then we now bring on probably half a dozen franchises a month, which is a lot in the franchise world. Mm-hmm. I think when I originally created it, I thought I was attracting this business to other women like myself that were in the fitness industry, that looked for careers that were supportive of motherhood. What I was missing was that I was really just attracting women who have a passion for fitness and who have a passion for motherhood. And we were attracting everyone from attorneys to accountants to stay-at-home moms to nurses to physical therapists. I mean, it ran across the board. And we really realized that there was no reason why we needed to limit that opportunity to fitness professionals, mm-hmm. Because so much of it could be taught. And so if they didn't necessarily have the credentials, we were able to tell women how to get those credentials or train them ourselves. Mm-hmm. So we have such an amazing array of franchisees with their backgrounds. And I think that's one of the neat things about a franchise is the power of the knowledge from the volume of people. So you're not just learning from us as franchisors and the support from our own team of our own corporate team. You're learning from these women all across the country and their own experiences. And it's just such an amazing energy when you're not in business by yourself. You know, you're in business for yourself, but not by yourself as a mm-hmm. franchisee.
Mm-hmm. Now, well, you were in business by yourself for a long time.
Yeah.
And to some extent, I mean, you're at the helm of the company.
To some extent, so, we still are, you know.
Yeah. So how do you, I mean, like, what is a typical day in the life of Lisa? I know you're still, your son is 5, so maybe is he in school now?
Yeah, my son is 4.5, and he's in preschool 3 days a week. And then I have a daughter who just turned a year, and she's with me at home every day. I do have a nanny who helps out about 4 hours a day, 4 or 5 hours a day, 4 days a week. From the start, I learned how to work on the fringe hours of the day. So I would wake up before my kids wake up and work. I would work at their nap times, and I would work after they go to bed. As the business grew, my workload grew.
Yeah.
And that was okay, because as the business grew, my time that was needed with the kids was not quite as intensive as with a new baby.
Mm-hmm.
And so with Rachel, with my daughter, I certainly have not had quite as much time with her as I did with Jacob. Mm-hmm. And that's heartbreaking in some sense. But at the same time, the business is still based out of my home. We have, you know, a dozen employees, and they all work out of their homes. But we're able to be really supportive and help them out in whatever we can do. And so we learn how to balance it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so I love that description of working on the fringes. And for the listeners, I know everyone is familiar with that. And that's one of the biggest questions, and you probably get this question a lot, too, from moms who want to be in business for themselves, whether it's a franchise opportunity or an opportunity that they create, is, okay, I've got this great idea. I have some indication that it will be successful, but for crying out loud, I can only do so many things. I need to sleep. I need to shout.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, my typical day is that I start work at 5 in the morning. I work from 5 till 6 till my son wakes up.
Mm-hmm.
Spend like an hour and a half with my kids, you mm-hmm. know, get them packed up for lunch or whatever it is. Then, you know, my husband will watch the kids for a couple of hours, and then the nanny comes, and so mm-hmm. I work, you know, 4 or 5 hours in the day, and then I'm with them again for a few hours and mm-hmm. do dinner and bedtime, and then I usually work from 7 till 10 at night or 6
till
10 at night.
And does your husband work in the business with you, too?
He does not, actually, but he's I couldn't do it without him.
Well, we can't, actually, he does, even if he's not sitting there with you.
Exactly. I mean, it's very much shared parenting, and he... Mm-hmm. I couldn't do it without his support.
Well, do you find that shared parenting, that description, that you, that mm-hmm. sort of label that you gave, that, do you find that that's one of the benefits of at least one person in the family owning a business? Do you find maybe just in comparison to maybe households where both parents work outside the home, that the parenting is more shared?
You know, it's hard to say. I think that we couldn't be doing this business without him realizing that he has to step up and help a lot more, you know, with the kids. I mean, he's watching my daughter right now, so I can do this phone interview with kids. So it helps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I have found that. I know that my husband and I, we work together, and we just have different kinds of conversations than we used to.
Yeah.
When we're both working. I mean, it's just, we are forced into situations of, and I don't say forced in a negative way, but, you know, we are forced into situations where the compromises just have to be made, there's a different kind of urgency to them
mm-hmm.
when it comes to taking care of the kids. And it's so exciting to I just find it inspirational to see, a woman like you with owning a business and also being able to spend, you know, real significant quality time with the kids and having a spouse who's also chipping in. Because a lot of times I get questions from people about, you know, I just can't seem to get, you know, my significant other to kind of get on board with this.
Yeah, it's hard. And I spoke to another mompreneur this morning who owns her own business and also works out of the house. And we both just said, we want women to realize across the country that it is doable, and if that's, you know, what your priority is, that you can have that this happen. But at the same time, not to think that it's easy. In some ways, it might be harder. Both of us have kids that are near 5 years old, and in some ways, I think our kids find it harder, because if we went to a traditional job, we'd only have to say goodbye to them once a day, and I don't think they'd think about us a whole lot when we're gone for the day. Mm-hmm. Whereas by working out of the house, it's almost like a tease, because they realize, you know, mom is there and I can't reach her. So,
That is interesting. We were driving around yesterday, and we drove past the local coffee shop, one of them, and my daughter, she's 4, she pointed out the window. She said, "Look, Mommy, it's your office."
Yeah, there you go.
Well, because my husband takes them on Saturday mornings and they go to the gym or they go out and play or something if the weather's nice, and they come and meet me at the coffee shop at like 12:30 or 1 o'clock. And I have my laptop out and I've been working, and you know, my daughter thinks that's my office. I thought that was so funny.
Yeah,
so indicative of the possibilities. Because
our kids are older, they will appreciate the sacrifices and what we've done to be with them. But mm-hmm. at this age, in some ways, it might be a little bit harder.
Yeah, sometimes I guess it is. And you have so you and your husband decided to throw yourselves into this, and the woman who moved to Monterey
mm-hmm.
created a situation where you knew it could be duplicated. So you said you did 10 licensing operations first, and then you decided to go ahead and franchise it.
And we franchised, and now we have, I think, 120 franchises.
Wow.
The business grew organically in terms of as the business grew, we would just invest more in every aspect of it, from support and staffing to advertising and marketing, and
mm-hmm.
Just has grown and grown and grown and continues to grow. And the media exposure for this program has been unbelievable. It's been
mm-hmm.
so exciting for us. Everything from the Today Show to Entrepreneur Magazine to Woman's Day. On this Wednesday night, we're going to be on CNN.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the reason why it's so exciting to everyone is it's a very feel-good story. And so whenever that's the case, it's, you know, it's visual, it's great for kids, it's great for moms.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's also tapping into, I mean, why you have this show, that women are looking for career opportunities that support their lifestyle. And
yeah. Yeah.
You know, when people think franchise, they usually think, oh, you know, $50,000 investment and, you know, working around the clock. This is a lifestyle franchise. Most of our franchisees, when we poll them, say they work 3 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not too many businesses where that's the case. Now,
mm-hmm.
also, there's the reality of that you're not going to make six figures when you're, you know, working 3 hours a day.
Right.
But everyone goes into business with different needs. And I have some franchisees who own and operate their own location and teach three classes a week, and that's it. That's all they need. They are happy as pie to be working with their children alongside of them, and, you know, financially they don't need more. And so there's so many different ways to measure success, but I think the overall success of this program shows that there's women across the country who are looking for careers that are supportive of motherhood.
Yeah, and you're right. That's exactly why Lifestyle CEO is here, to support and encourage women who are desirous of being the CEOs of their lifestyles and their businesses. And you just described it so well. We have so few opportunities that are appreciative of that lifestyle choice, of that lifestyle desire. You know, I worked in the corporate arena before I had children. And Lisa, I got to tell you, I saw it before I even got married. Actually, I was like, you know what? God bless everyone who works, period. God bless mothers who work outside the home or inside the home, now that I know about that, too.
Yeah.
But I just looked at it. I was like, you know, I just don't think I could do that. I am not that wonderful to be able to do that. And I just, what you described as being able to create the kind of lifestyle that you can really enjoy and still get the benefits of, you know, being with your kids and also contributing to your family's financial bottom line to the tune of whatever you feel is appropriate.
Absolutely.
And that's so wonderful. So tell me a little bit about how you actually go about, becoming. What if a listener's interested in becoming one of your franchisees? What do they do? Is there like a website they can go to get more information or a phone number?
If someone's interested in becoming a franchisee or an instructor for a franchisee, because all of our franchisees are usually looking for instructors as well, they can go to our Stroller Strides website, and there is a link for franchising. And there's a form to fill out, and from there we will have you fill out an application and put you in touch with a sales representative who can let you know about opportunities in your area. All of our territories are exclusive, so you know that there'll be nobody else offering a Stroller Strides within your territory. So first,
That's a really interesting point to cover, too. I want to talk a little bit about that when we come back from our break. This is the Lifestyle CEO Show. The call-in number to talk to Lisa is 800-773-0355. We'll be right back.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to the Lifestyle CEO Show. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and we are in studio today talking with Lisa Druxman, the founder and owner of Stroller Strides, a nationwide franchise brand that brings fitness to mothers in a neighborhood near you. And we were talking to Lisa about how she got started and how she moved from basically doing this in her own neighborhood to doing it regionally to doing it in different cities in her state and now nationwide. And how many franchisees did you say you have now, Lisa?
We have, at last count, 120 franchisees in 33 states.
And how long have you actually been franchising?
It's been 3 years now, but it's been quite a process, and it's ongoing because you have to re-register every year in each state, and it's a completely huge learning curve for us. was a lot.
Tell me a little bit about it. I know there's probably, you know, hours and hours that we could spend talking about all the details, as the devil's always in the details, but just from a broad perspective, I mean, once you decided, okay, we can probably franchise this, what did you do next?
When we decided to franchise it, we wanted to make sure that everything was really perfected and could be replicated easily. And so it is in the details. It's in your manuals, whether it's operations manuals to marketing manuals. You really want to make sure that everything is as strong as possible, can't be replicated, protecting all of your intellectual property and any other kind of property. So if you have had someone on for patents, then, you know, certainly just have as much protection as possible. Mm-hmm. I would definitely say I've learned from my own experience to make sure you invest in attorneys. Sometimes I curse them with their bills, and it's very easy to say, oh, I don't need to have an attorney look this over or that over. Mm-hmm. You do. You will pay so much more in the long run if you don't do it right from the start. So
I would imagine that's especially true if you're actually going to be going around the country with your brand.
Without a doubt. I mean, my father is a child psychologist, and he has a saying that, you know, bigger kids make bigger problems. And that's the same for business. If you are just small and local, you can get away with a little bit more. When you really put yourself out there in a larger brand and nationwide, you better make sure that you are strong from the foundation or you will be toppled over. Make sure that you really understand what you're doing and what you're getting yourself into.
So I would imagine then that did you contact an attorney or a consultant or something to kind of get you started along, like the first steps toward moving in that direction?
We've done it all and continue to, from consultants and mentors to attorneys. And so I know that you're going to have a franchise attorney on next week, and I think that is excellent, excellent. There are so many great resources out there. There's the International Franchise Association. Their website is ifa.org. That gives tons of information on what to look for when buying a franchise or if you're going to become a franchisor. There are quite a few magazines out there like Franchise Times and Franchising. Study it and learn it. One of the really neat things about franchising is that you don't have to reinvent the wheel. Don't try to start all of your systems for replication of your business from scratch, because in so many instances, a lot of this exists already. And so you might as well take advantage of what other companies have done rather than creating it from scratch.
But and you can kind of take the business model is kind of solidified. It's a franchise. And then so you can take some of the materials and information that maybe you can get through an association like IFA and just adapt it to your own particular niche?
Yes. I mean, here's an example. If anytime you're planning on franchising, that means you're going to replicate. So let's say you've created your advertising and marketing materials. Mm-hmm. You now need to get those advertising and marketing materials to your franchisees.
Right.
Well, there are web-based systems and software systems where you can upload the different types of materials and give access to your franchisees so that it will hold your brand message and won't let them change fonts or colors or whatever, but will let them edit their personal information. And so these are ways that large franchises and brands are able to, you know, make sure that they continue to have that stronghold on their brand, but be able to personalize it for their franchisees.
Right. It's kind of the high-tech way of what people used to do, which is print the label off and stick it on the back of the trifold brochure.
Yeah. I mean, there's systems for all of this already. So I guess what I'm saying is do your research and find out what's out there before you, you know, try to create it yourself. But before becoming a franchise, you know, I consult a lot of women who are wanting to start their own business, and so I would really just say, think about why you want to do it. Because if you're really wanting to do it because you want to be a mom first and foremost, don't become a franchisor, because I'm learning from firsthand experience. You're going to be spending so much time on the business. It's not really going to give you freedom. To buy a franchise, depending on the franchise, that might be it. But if you're looking to franchise yourself, really think about why you want to do it and what you're willing to risk, because there's a lot on the line.
Well, Lisa, I want to talk to you a little bit about that, because I know, You know, when I drive around my neighborhood, I see lots of signage on the lampposts, telephone poles that say, and of course your email box is always full of them, you know, make $2,500 in your bedroom slippers by this time next week.
Oh,
and of course it's all directed at mom. Spend more time with your kids. And, you know, you just talked about, you know, that's the opposite end of the spectrum from what you're describing is yours was sort of not intentional from the very beginning. The opportunity kind of came to you, but do you sometimes want to stop or maybe sell it or do you ever think about that from what you, I'm just kind of picking up on what you just said. Are you still meeting your goals as a mom?
It's a never-ending challenge. The business continues to fill my spirit and emotions, and it's something that we are so proud of as a family, and something that we are more than ever excited about. But like I think so many businesses when they grow, sometimes they outgrow their founders. And so for us, that doesn't mean that we want to sell necessarily, but just means that we've needed more and more support. So we've brought on more and more attorneys and consultants and support team. And so for us, it's working, but it's definitely not in a traditional sense. And I think that there are so many things that are unique about Stroller Strides that it makes it work for us. Mm-hmm. But for a lot of people, I would just say be careful because the more you grow, the more responsibility it is. And so now I don't just feel responsibility for myself, but I feel responsibility for all of my employees and for over 100 franchisees and then hundreds of instructors nationwide. So you really want to make sure that you're going to be around and that you're strong enough to handle it, which I think we are.
Yeah, the pressure is on. I would imagine it must be quite substantial. You're still having fun.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, like I said, it's such a feel-good business on so many levels. So I think when you've got a passion for it, it'll keep you going, and it makes it all worth it. If we picked a business that we were going for just to have a business, it would never work for us. For me to be so excited about it every single day, and it means, I mean, I'm still teaching the classes. I just love it.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Oh, yeah. I still teach. You can't get me to stop because you have to love your business because you're going to be living your business for a long time.
Mm-hmm. And you know it's so great what you're describing. You've been doing this for 5 years, and you just described a lot of the pressure that you're under, and not in a negative way, but just, you know, there's a lot of obligation.
Reality.
Yet you still teach the classes, so you're doing what your franchisees are doing, and you've also continued to keep doors open. You can do almost anything you want in the fitness industry now. I mean, you're not quote unquote limited to consulting. You can do that. You can teach one on one. You can do stroller strides. You can do so many things because you've leveraged your talents. I want to talk a little bit about that when we come back from our break, which we're going to take a very short one. This is the Lifestyle CEO Show. We're talking to Lisa Druxman, and I'm so excited about being able to come back and talk to her about how she's leveraged her opportunities and her background and how you can, too, out there. So 800-773-0355 is the number to call if you have a question or comment for Lisa or myself. This is the Lifestyle CEO Show, and we will be right back.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.
Well, believe it or not, everyone, we are coming up on the last segment of this week's Lifestyle CEO Show. We've got Lisa Druxman here, and she is talking with us about the growth of her small business to a nationwide franchise. And speaking of franchises, I want you all to mark your calendars for this same time next week here at the Lifestyle CEO Show when we will welcome world-renowned licensing and franchise attorney Andrew Sherman. He is a partner at a law firm here in Washington, D.C., and he has been representing companies large and small for most of his career in the areas of protecting their intellectual property, trademarks, patents, branding, copyright, everything you need to turn your business into a business opportunity for others or license it or franchise it or any of the other millions of things that you can do to grow your business. And that's one reason why I'm so excited to have Lisa Druxman from Stroller Strides on the show today, because she has done that. And Lisa, you've got some exciting things to tell us about that are coming up right now with Stroller Strides. You've got some branded accessories and a book. Tell us about that.
You know, I don't think we've had a moment that there's not so much going on with Stroller Strides. In addition to the classes, this year we released the Stroller Strides stroller, which is, I swear, I push it all the time. It's the most amazing stroller because it's the only stroller that's out there that you can really use for everything and is designed to also help you get back into shape. So the stroller actually includes exercise tubes and includes a Stroller Strides manual on how to work out with your stroller. And then we also are releasing a book by Time Warner Books in early 2007, and that is going to be called Lean Mommy. And what is neat for us is that there's a tremendous synergy with the classes and the book and the stroller, where everything promotes and supports each other. And I think that that's a way that everything can really support each other's business, since you don't have everything riding in one basket.
So putting all your eggs in several baskets.
Yeah, exactly.
What Lean Mommy is, that's an acronym for something, isn't it?
Well, remember I told you that I was going to go back to work to start a weight management program that I had put together 15 years ago, and it's a program called Lean, which is Learn Eating Awareness and Nutrition. And my foundation with having a background in psychology is that really we all know what we're supposed to do. I mean, if I put a plate of steamed vegetables and chicken in front of you, you know that that's probably a better choice than, you know, pizza and barbecue ribs. But the question is, why don't we make the better choices? And that's from thought processes and behaviors that have started from childhood, really. And so Lean Mommy is to really help moms start to make better choices for themselves as far as exercise and eating go. But more important to me, we're teaching moms through Stroller Strides and the book how to be model moms. And what I mean by that is, I think it is essential that we be positive role models for our kids in terms of health and exercise and eating. And there are so many issues with dieting and body image out there right now that it is my hot button to know that we are really starting to get better about body acceptance and body comfort and starting to embrace health and fitness and wellness rather than getting to a particular size on, you know, a certain weight on the scale or a size on, in your dress size.
Wow, that sounds like it's going to be a great book. Do we have to wait till 2007?
Yeah, you got to wait a little while longer. These books take a long time, not just to write, but for
yeah,
them
it's
to like,
it's not like you're sitting around all day writing a book, right?
No, it's a labor of love with lots of help.
Well, it sounds like it'll be wonderful, and it points out all the things that you just described. I know when you answered my question, you're like, there's always so much stuff going on. That's why I was real specific about what I was asking, because I knew you could. I knew there were so many things. But what you did describe, and everyone out there listening can do this too, as women with, obviously, we have backgrounds, especially if you have a child, you've been around for a while, so you've got your work history, your experience history, your educational background, you know, your life experience, your mom experience, now 5 years of business ownership experience, and so you are able to put all these things together to put yourself in a position to create as little or as many new opportunities as you want.
Yes, it's very, very fun and exciting and a little overwhelming at times.
Yeah, now, how does that, do you, I mean, I would imagine in any particular week, Lisa, you get opportunities to do things that you'd like to do or you might want to investigate doing, but you kind of have to say no. Does that happen?
It's almost daily.
it
really is, and it's hard because I'm not someone who says no to things, and it's hard to pass up what you feel are opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
But when you think about it, between the video opportunities and TV, and you know, there are so many things, but the reality is you just can't do it all, not all at the same time. And so we've got business plans that go out for years now, you know, in terms of when we're going to add new types of programs and new types of classes. In fact, really exciting for us, we just signed a deal with a company called Fit to Deliver, and we have full licensing rights to offer Fit to Deliver prenatal programs. And Fit to Deliver is one of the most amazing educators in prenatal exercise. And so that's something that's just added a whole another level of value to our franchisees. And so we're really, really excited about this relationship. So
what is that called again?
It's called Fit to Deliver.
Oh, okay. That sounds really exciting. And so you have learned to say no, though.
Yeah, yes, I have. I still think I say yes too much, but yes, I have learned to say no. And to, you know, just realize that I'd rather be focused and really do what we're doing well and give the rest the time it needs when the time happens.
Mm-hmm. Now, go back in your mind, if you can, to when you first started this. Like, here you are, your son is brand new, your daughter hasn't been born, and you're just starting to see the opportunity for a business come about. What are, like, three things that you learned in the early years that that you can share with some of our listeners that can then help them, you know, assess, you know, early on the different options that they have with the business? What are three things maybe that you do differently?
Three things. One of them I already mentioned, but I think it's so important that I'll mention it again, and that's to make sure that you bring on an attorney right from the start, and not to shy away from those expenses, because it will cost you a lot more in the long run if you don't do it right. And we backtracked a lot and learned a lot through that experience.
But through your experience, you can tell everyone that it's not fatal if you don't do it right away.
Yeah, it's not fatal. You can get back up, but it will cost you a lot more. Like,
okay.
If you're worried about cost up front, it will cost you far, far more if you don't do it right.
Well, you know, I think I want to pick up on that, because I think a lot of people do, they think about that, and they probably know that intellectually. It's like choosing the pizza or the apple.
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe that's a bad analogy, but but if you, I talk with people that, you know, they don't have a lot of resources up front, but what they hope to have is when they do need those resources, when it's time to do a little bit of cleanup work, that the resources are there and that they can then do that. Because for so many people, the only option starting out is not to try.
Yeah.
Because they can't hire somebody to do that kind of work for them. What do you think of that? I mean, sometimes that's just what people are up against. They can't get a loan for some reason. Maybe they can't qualify for it, or, you know, they are not able to get investors, or... So, I mean, I agree with what you're saying. I'm just thinking about, have you talked with people who might have experienced something a little bit different in terms of the resources? And
well, yeah, I'm certainly not saying necessarily bring on an attorney on staff by any means, you know, and have to pay someone full time. There's, you know, here's what my advice would be to that person. There are incredible resources out there that do not cost you anything. I have used SCORE myself, Association for Retired Executives. It is free counseling from not only attorneys, accountants, whatever it is that you may need. I've had in-person counseling from SCORE, and it does not cost you a dollar. And depending on what kind of business you're getting into, there may be other mentoring things. I mentioned the International Franchise Association.
Mm-hmm.
They have a women's mentoring program, and I've taken advantage of that.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the unique things about women is that we are not afraid to ask for help and to
mm-hmm.
learn from others. I don't know that men necessarily do that the same way in business. So I've asked for lots of women, and my advice would be look for a parallel business, even if it's not the same business, but look for what kind of a business would have a similar model. Find out what's out there. Really do your research. Who's doing it well? And don't be afraid to contact that CEO, contact that president, and ask their advice. How did they start? What did, you know, exactly what we're talking about in this phone interview?
Mm-hmm.
Because you can learn so much from other companies that have done it well and also companies that have made mistakes. You think about all the companies that have started and have failed.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's almost equally important to learn from the ones that didn't make it so that you're not in that same position. And one of the things that I think is certainly something that I don't think enough entrepreneurs really do is their budget. I find so many people just focus on what their vision is for their business, but don't want to spend the time, because it's laborsome, on really creating, well, what does this budget look like? What am I really going to have to spend? What am I really going to have to risk? And my accountant, I quote this all the time, but he gave me this advice, and I think it's very true. He said, Lisa, when you're creating your business budget, I want you to have your revenue and double your expenses, and if you could still make money, then move forward. And I think he was very right, because we almost always think we're going to make more money than we do, and we always think we're going to spend less money than we do.
That is so true.
And so, I mean, just, you know, really go into it. And then you will not own your own business without taking risk. And make sure that you have the padding and the time to get through that. Because I would hate to see someone, whether it's a franchisee or a franchisor or anyone else, put time, energy, and heart into a business and then have to stop in 6 months because they didn't have enough cash flow to get them through, when really it might have been a huge success if they were able to make it a year. I mean, most new businesses do not break even the first year. I mean, really, the more I'm learning about business, they say 3 to 5 years is appropriate. So if that is going to be you, make sure that you're prepared for that.
Right, right. That's a, for everyone who, thank you so much for that advice, Lisa. Wonderful advice. For those of you who aren't sure, SCORE is score.org. And you can go there and, as Lisa said, get free counseling and maybe even, definitely email counseling and maybe phone counseling, maybe even in person too. And just to summarize what you said too, get an attorney, network, ask questions, ask for help, and get a budget. Those are three really, really great suggestions for everyone. And you guys, it works because look at Stroller Strides. Head on over to StrollerStrides.com. And get inspired. And also, if you're looking for a business opportunity or franchise in your area, you can fill out the form there and let Lisa know that you're interested. And you never know what might happen for you. So thanks for joining us, Lisa. We really, really appreciate your insights and your inspiration. Join us next week, everyone, when Andrew Sherman, world-renowned licensing and franchising attorney, will be here to fill out the flesh on this skeleton that we've talked about with Lisa today about how important it is to talk to
I'll be listening to that one.
Well, I will be excited to have you. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us today. Thank you, Lisa, of course, for being
here.
We'll be looking for that book next year.
All right, great.
And more exciting things from Stroller Strides. Have a great day, everyone. I'll see you next week. And in the meantime, break all the rules, build your own corporate ladder, and create the life you love. Have a good week, everyone.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.